Welcome to the Jedi Praxium here at Arcane Jedi Templar on Anchor Radio, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Finally, the time has come to get the Jedi Praxium episodes up and going. For this series of the Jedi Praxium, we are going to discuss the lessons and quotes and other fun facts from the New Jedi Order series. For those who don't remember, the New Jedi Order series was part of the Extended Universe, now referred to as Legends, and it was a combination of 19 hardback books, 2 ebooks, and had multiple short stories. But to be honest, I believe that many of the short stories were fan fiction, but I could be wrong on that. And I do believe there may have been a comic series involved for the New Jedi Order series. But truthfully, I never got into comic books because my learning disability just doesn't allow that to happen. All right, fun historical facts about the New Jedi Order series. The New Jedi Order series started in 1999 and ended in 2003. For those who need a reminder, pretty much the New Jedi Order series was launched right around the time as Episode 3 movie. So, you know, it's pretty ancient. It's been around for a while. And the New Jedi Order series, although George Lucas himself said that the NJO series and the EU was not part of his canon, but the fun thing to remember is George Lucas actually did play an active role in the outlining of the entire EU continuity. And if you pick up any of the books, if you pick up a Star Wars Legends book and look at the it's in the front, like, few pages, there's a timeline. That is what was referred to as the EU. That's the canon that many of the old school Star Wars fans have. And for the Jedi realist community, it's pretty much the foundation of Jedi realism today. And something worth knowing. All right, any event. So, back to the episode. All right. The New Jedi Order series started 21 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. For the Jedi realist community, we look at it more as 14-ish years after Luke established the Jedi Academy his own Jedi Academy. So, the knights of this generation have only been around for a short period of time, and, you know, everything was kind of getting settled down. The New Republic was settling into power. They had an uneasy truce with the Imperial Remnant. The Jedi Academy itself on Yavin 4 was pretty much still in its infant stage. You know, Luke taught what he believed was the basic training to all the candidates. And upon completion of training, Luke would walk up to said student and say, "Okay, you know what? You pretty much did the basics. You're ready to graduate. Tell me what you're going to do with this new knowledge and this new skills. You know, how are you going to benefit the galaxy as a whole?" And at that point in time, the said candidate would say, "I'm going to go and take on smugglers. Or I'm going to be a diplomat and yada, yada, yada." You know, whatever it was, Luke basically gave him a pat on the back, say, "Go forth, Jedi Knight, and do some good in the galaxy." There was really little structure to Luke's Jedi Order. Part of that was from, you know, he had very limited training, even getting holocrons and stuff that you learn about in the EU books. You know, he was still very limited, so rank and file wasn't necessarily Luke's cup of tea, and you can tell at the start of the series. Now, any event, so, like I mentioned, New Republic was kind of settling in, there was uneasy peace, and a species, or culture, or civilization, whatever you want to call it, came in from a different galaxy, basically looking for a fight. The Vaughn themselves were more like religious zealots who definitely did not believe in technology. They were pretty much horrible about that. And their religion was really about pain and suffering. All right. So that's the start of New Jedi Order. All right. The first book, Vector Prime, I found four quotes or lessons I thought would be kind of fun to discuss as an introduction episode. Vector Prime itself was a great book, a lot of fun. Oh, actually, I didn't mention this, and I should have. The New Jedi Order series, again, was between 1999 and 2003. What's so special about 2003? 2003 is about the time frame that I decided that crystal meth, ecstasy, and cocaine was not a viable life path. And as part of my recovery, to be really honest, I didn't want to go to detox. I didn't want to go to rehab. I didn't want to live that life. So I made a bargain with my sister that if she let me stay with her, if I showed any signs of a relapse, I would go willingly to rehab or whatnot, but to give me a chance to do it by myself. Something I would not recommend other people to do. Thankfully, it worked for me, but it is what it is. In any event, to keep my mind away from, getting high, I picked up most of the New Jedi Order books. Again, a couple of them were yet to be released. I got sober in February of 03, so a couple of them were still yet to be released. But in any event, reading these novels actually helped to save my life, and getting back involved with the Jedi Realist community was also fun because, in truth, the Jedi Realist community and the New Jedi Order books pretty much grew up together in a sense as it pertains to the internet. But in any event, back to the book, back to Vector Prime. As I mentioned, there was one, two, three, four, I guess five quotes or lessons I wanted to talk about. It's not going to be too detailed per se, but we'll see where it goes. All right, one of the most memorable quotes of this book was repeated multiple times throughout the series, and it comes from Jason Solo. And there's a simple question: is that the role of the Jedi now? When we look at the Jedi Order as a whole at this point in time, like I mentioned, they were very, very scattered. And Jason Solo was, I want to say, somewhere between 16 and 18-ish years old at this point in time. And he was training under Luke, and there was so much turmoil within the Jedi that there were no clear answers. There was no real substance that bonded all these Jedi Knights together. Part of that was from Luke's own ignorance, in a sense. This was not a quote, but a lesson. Kind of like an inner dialogue from Luke. And it was a properly trained Jedi Knight who had been taught to avoid the dark side, who has proved that he could resist the temptations associated with such power, needed no bureaucracy to guide his actions. And putting that governing layer there, he feared would steal the mystery. And this is where a lot of the problems happened. And in truth, this is where a lot of problems in the Jedi Realist community happened. Since the early stages, again, there was a Jedi, but there wasn't a Jedi Order. Because, again, Luke did not want a rigid structure. He wanted and believed that everybody could go to life with this training and make the world a better place, or in their case, make the galaxy a better place. And the problem with that was there's a lot of great people who have a lot of great ideas that do not necessarily agree with each other. And this actually still plays a role within the Jedi Realist community today. We do have groups who are dedicated to bettering the individuals in the group and bettering the group as a whole. We have groups, I mean, there's 1,001 Facebook groups, just like the old Yahoo days, that somebody started to call themselves Jedi Master, and it's like a meme group. It's a silly meme group that posts videos and, knock knock jokes or whatever. But they still refer to themselves as a Jedi Order because it sounds cool to call yourself a Jedi Master, I guess. We also have more groups who are more hardcore in a sense, who are more martial focused and more guardian aspect. A lot of these individuals end up joining the police. Force, be it city or county. They also join the military. And, we have, hell, Truthfully, in Arcanea alone, I could be mistaken, but right now I could think of five people who were in the military, and all of which are veterans, considering the time that they were in the military and the wars that were going on. Right, Luke's dream itself wasn't necessarily bad. Again, we do need to trust people to go with their intuition, but we do need some rank and structure to keep things focused, to keep our community growing and accountable in a sense. But in any event, again, this is what led to Jason's belief of, is this the role of the Jedi? Because it was really unclear. For some, it was diplomatic. For others, like Kip Duran, it was going after smugglers and, kicking down doors and, being assertive in the universe and making sure everybody knew who you were. And there were a lot of fence sitters as well. And we're going to talk about more of the divide of the Jedi Order, well, what would later become the Jedi Order as the series progresses. One of the better quotes was, it came from Luke, and it said, there's a reason for solitude. This is actually one of the better quotes from the book, because there is a reason for solitude. We do need time to be by ourselves. We need time each day to reflect. Perhaps it's your morning coffee. Perhaps at nighttime, it's when everybody goes to sleep and you get to have time within yourself. I recommend, truthfully, a little bit of both. In the mornings, I like waking up, grabbing my cup of coffee from my Keurig machine and going through my daily devotional meditation books, reflection books, whatever you want to call them. For me, that works. I like having that time because nobody else is awake. Even my dog's still asleep. And it gives me a chance to start my day off with something that is going to make me think, is hopefully going to be positive and uplifting, or, it's going to help guide my mission for the day. Again, that works for me. And at night, I like to do a little bit of journaling or whatnot and reflect on my day. Like, what did I do today? Did I do anything to help other people? Did I get a great workout in? Did I fail at different aspects of things that I do? Did I do a good job today, basically? And I'm talking about doing a good job. I'm not talking about my work, or not actually talking about my job. Again, your job pays your bills. Your work is what you do. I do look back and I talk, or sorry, think about interactions that I've had with people, face to face. I think about interactions I had on social media, and there are a couple amends I probably should make as it pertains to social media as of late. Again, it's what works for me, and enjoying the solitude. Again, I like to be around people. I like to be sociable, and it is what it is. But I do like my time of solitude. Again, it gives me a chance to do my reflections. It gives me a chance to work on my Reiki practice. And even going to the gym, I'm still in solitude. I'm surrounded by people, but I'm still in solitude. I'm still have my headphones in. I'm still doing my thing. For some people, too much solitude is not healthy. So definitely, keep that in mind and find a good balance. All right, another one I just thought was kind of funny. It was a quote from Myra Jade. And Myra, Leia, and Jaina Solo were getting ready to go into negotiation. And they're talking about, what happens if things go physical. Lightsabers get drawn, basically. And Myra put, they want no part in a Jedi willing to shoot back. I actually love that quote because, in truth, there are a lot of bullies out there. We see it online. We see it in our lives. You see it in the workplace. There are a shitload of bullies out there. But in truth, these bullies do not want people to fight back. They are afraid of that. Now, for a while, admittedly, I allowed myself to be bullied by a different group. I allowed the bullying to take place. I allowed my name to get smeared, and it got pretty rough. And that created a lot of turmoil in my life. And the minute I started fighting back, because again, I thought, be the bigger person, walk away, this too shall pass. And it still hasn't. And even to this day, I still have the bullies pop up and make a comment about how I'm not a Jedi realist on somebody else's Facebook, and the topic has nothing to do with Jedi realism. And to this day, I still have people who call martial arts schools to let them know how horrible of a person I am. It is what it is. But, in recent, I have started fighting back because the only way to stop the bullies is to stand up to the bullies. And, it's time. I gave it time. I let it ride. But it's definitely time to fight back because these people want no part in that fight. I guarantee you that. Again, that was a fun quote. Now, a last quote that I want to talk about, and I'm going to try to get this just under 20 minutes. It's a Myra Jade quote. Actually, not necessarily a quote. Again, it was inner dialogue. Myra Jade Skywalker, at this point in time, was poisoned by an unknown illness. And this illness, hit a whole bunch of people, and most of the people died. And Myra was the sole, one of two survivors, and it was believed that her connection with the universal life source is what gave her a chance to remain alive. And it was Myra's determined to live her life fully, to live with this unknown disease. Sorry, let me try that one again. Myra's determined to live her life fully, to live without this unknown disease being the center of her existence. Now, this inner dialogue actually spoke a lot to me. There are a lot of people in life who are suffering. There are people who suffer with depression. There are people who have different mental illnesses that make them very unstable, like people who are bipolar, people who suffer anger. I am one of the blessed people who suffers with addiction. Again, my life story. I was a, still am, but I was a hardcore junkie at one point in my life. And it is interesting, being away from it and being in recovery and looking back at my life, what I've accomplished since. I hate when people talk about the glory days of active addiction, the stuff they did, yada, yada, yada. For me, that's boring. I like hearing more about what people are doing in their recovery. Like, okay, cool. You were a horrible person in your addiction, sorry, in your active addiction. What are you doing now in your recovery? And when I get the chance to look back at these 20 years, I've had some golden opportunities. I've had some great things happen in my life. I have a very interesting marriage. My wife and I have been together for, I think, 17 or 18 years, to be honest. I don't remember what year we actually got married. And we had some separation time as well, which made life even more interesting. And now we have what we have, and it's great. I've managed to rebuild relationships with my biological brothers. I managed to rebuild my relationship with my mom. I'm part of the Arcane Jedi Order, which to me means a lot. The people at the Arcane Jedi Order have done a great deal for me, and I'm very thankful for them. I've managed to, get put in American Jedi. There's a documentary film with me talking about my addiction and how Jedi realism helped me with that. I managed to have two podcasts, the one that we're listening to now, as well as Jedi Realist Radio, that's been around since like 2012. I've had my interviews in newspapers across the United States, as well as I think we're up to five interviews from newspapers in other countries. I got to do a podcast from Canada last May 4th about Jedi realism. And it's a lot of fun to be able to do that. And now that I'm back in Wichita, and I've been back here, since the start of COVID, I managed to get back to the community I really belong to, and that's the local recovery community. 20 years ago, these people saved my life. And it's weird now being one of the old timers and, you know, working with new people. And, you know, to me, that is remarkable. You know, it's, I could have just fluffed off my life and said, I'm a drug addict. I'm going to die this way. But, you know, thankfully, opportunities presented themselves. And I managed to take, you know, one of the most negative parts of my life and turn it into something to help other people. And, you know, it's even strange. Stranger is, you know, a few months back, I posted about, you know, I was thinking about doing a testimonial of my years in active addiction and what I've done since. And, you know, I put it up in Unified Jedi Facebook group, and I was very shocked by the number of responses of people who put, "Hey, you know what? I've been listening to your podcast, and I'm also a recovering addict. You know, stuff that you've said on your podcast, I could relate to." You know, a handful of other people put their recovery dates. And, you know, for people in my life, people who are, you know, actively part of my physical life, okay, that's kind of cool. I mean, it's really awesome, don't get me wrong. But what shocked the hell out of me was these are people I've never spoke with. Apparently, they listen to the podcast, they join Unified Jedi, and they just follow it. And I never realized that I had this voice or this outreach. You know, I thought it was cool to have a podcast. I never realized the outreach that I have. Now, getting back, how does this relate to the quote? It's, I'm a recovering addict. You know, I'm one really bad decision away from throwing everything that I've accomplished away. You know, it. Being this far away from everything. You know, I don't have physical cravings and stuff like that. I don't. But there are the fleeting thoughts. There are the fleeting thoughts of I could go and get high right now and just chill. You know, break out the peanut butter and the crackers and watch some Cheech and Chong movies. That won't lead to anything bad, will it? Or I could go out and grab a Long Island. It'll be okay. No one will know because, yeah, there's nobody would know about it. I could go out and get, you know, cocaine or meth and be productive and redo my house. Who's going to know? Well, A, I'm going to know. And B, you know, I don't want to go back to that life. I don't want to live that life. That life was miserable, and the life I have now is so much better. And if I go out and relapse tonight, then everything I've done all these years turns to shit. It makes me a fool, it makes me a liar, and it makes me fake. Those are things that I truthfully cannot live with. Not to mention the fact of how many people are dying of fentanyl nowadays. Is it like 6 out of 10 pills can be lethal doses? Although truthfully, I don't know where they get that number from. I would love to really understand how they get that math, but you know, it is factual in a sense that fentanyl is very lethal. You know, it's a pressed pill, well, pressed pill form that most people are taking, and there's no consistency. You know, one could have an extra large dose of fentanyl, and you're going to take it and you're going to die. You know, I don't want to be another statistic. I don't want to be found dead, and to people wonder, how long have I been using? When did I relapse? And yada, yada, yada. I don't want to live that life. You know, I don't want to always think about my addiction as part of my life. You know, I want to live like a normal person, and I strive daily to do that. You know, I go out, I do my job, I go to the gym, I go to the dojo, you know, like I live a normal life, but I do need to be mindful that, you know, again, I'm one decision away from active addiction, and all hell would go break loose at that point. In any event, this episode has already ran by a little longer than I wanted it to, but it is what it is. I might cover a couple other quotes from Vector Prime. We'll see. I want to cover at least 5 quotes, 5 to 10 quotes per book. And again, there's 19 books. I'm not going to do the ebooks. And if you're new to Jedi Realism, or if you're just heard about it listening to this podcast, do me a favor, go to Jedi Realist Radio Facebook page, give it a like. Go over to the Unified Jedi group and join. If you want to join part of the conversations, great. If you want to sit there and lurk and kind of see what people are talking about, that's great too. Now, if you're really interested in getting involved with Jedi realism, I'm going to give you two options. If you're part of the recovery community and the Force feels like a higher power to you, great. Trust me, you're in good company. Join Unified Jedi and send me a message. If I can help you in any way, shape, or form, I certainly will. Or if you want to get something of a more traditional Jedi realist group, check out the Arcana Jedi Academy. Again, also at Facebook. It's an order that I'm a part of, and we have a great training program. If you're interested, let us know. We can definitely get you started on that. Other than that, I guess I should mention, if you do want to contribute to the show, if you go on Spotify, there's a thing like donate a dollar or like $9 or whatever. If you're interested, please go ahead and do that. If you're not interested, that's totally fine too. Our content is always and will always remain free because, again, I like doing the episodes, and the people over at Jedi Realist Radio, they like doing the episodes. We want to share our path with other people, so it is what it is. Other than that, this Thursday night, if you go over to Blog Talk Radio, we're doing a live episode. I will be working with David and Brian, and we're going to be discussing the Jedi Templar Code, which should be a lot of fun. And then after this week is over, David is going to step over and be the main host of the Unified Jedi Thursday nights for next month. And he's going to be covering the 12 Vows of Arcanea. And as a new knight, it's going to be great to see what he brings. All right. Other than that, guys, thanks for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, wherever you see the link, post your comments, questions, or concerns. Or as always, feel free to message me, MJ Hannigan. All right, thanks for listening. Love and light. This is MJ. I'm out.